to take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. This is the third week in our series on the birth of Christ. And we need to look at this from Paul's perspective today. The title of my message this morning is On Time and On Target. We're going to be looking at two verses of Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And it's basically Paul's version of the Christmas story. It's very short and to the point. But we need to understand that God is always on time. God is always going to where He needs to go. And His message and His power goes exactly where He wants to put it. And He's always on target. So, on time, on target. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But before we open God's Word, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for an opportunity, Lord, to study Your Word. Father, we have it and have it speak to us. Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will have full reign here today. Lord, I pray that You bind Satan on our behalf. Father, I pray that our lives would be changed. Father, I ask that You just help us to understand new truth. Father, I pray that You just help us, Lord, to understand Your sacrifice, Lord, and Your plan, and that we would follow it. Lord, help us today at this time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In our text this morning, Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. In verse 4, he tells the Christmas story. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. That's all that Paul ever talks about the Christmas story, right there. But there's a lot of truth in there. There's a point in there. Verse 5 tells about the life of Christ. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's the purpose of Christ. He gave Himself for us, that we could be adopted into God's family. Amen. And that message did not go unnoticed by Paul. In fact, it changed his life. It can change your life too. In way of introduction, you know, we think of Christmas season, and sometimes we think of myths. We think of other things except what it's really all about. Sometimes we come to church and we hear the same messages over and over again. And we can become too familiar, and it doesn't resonate with us anymore like it used to. Right. Oh, folks, this is the greatest story ever told. This stuff should just make us want to learn more about God and to stand in awe of God. So we need to beware of becoming too familiar with the Christmas story. We need to think about what went on here every day. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercy." It's God's mercy fulfilled in Christ that we are not consumed. It's God's sacrifice on the cross that we don't have an eternity in hell for those who believe. Because His compassion fail not. It's because He did love the world so much, He sent Christ in the manger. Oh, those things should not become too routine. They should not become mundane. They should resonate in our hearts. Every day we ought to thank Him for that. Amen. Verse 23, Jeremiah says, he takes about the Lord's mercies. He says, "They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Oh, folks, if I could get you to just think on God afresh and anew every morning. Amen. Every day. The significance of this season. The significance of His actions. And we just stand in awe and praise Him every day. That's what we need to do. But you know, Christmas time becomes an issue of gift giving. And we emphasize that and we don't think about the gift that God gave. Preaching becomes the same thing over and over again. It demands that we preach about the inn. There's no room in the inn. It demands that we talk about the shepherds. It demands that we talk about the wise men. And there's nothing wrong in that. But we can't get too familiar with it. We need to be excited about it. We need to understand that this is God's plan that was before the foundations of the earth was set in motion. And this ought to cause us to be excited.
Right.
You know, familiarity breeds what? Contempt. There are some people now just want the Christmas season to get over with. There's some people now just say, let's stop talking about Jesus. No. It should not breed contempt at all. Oh, we've been talking about the prophecies. We've been talking about the angelic appearances. We've been talking about lives that coming out of nowhere. God's going to put this plan through normal people, ordinary people on ordinary days doing ordinary things, but faithful to God, and God changed them.
Right.
God can do the same for us.
Amen.
Paul, in this passage, focuses at the true purpose of Christ's birth. You know, I don't know if Paul ever preached a Christmas story. Don't know if he ever preached the thing to the new churches. I think that he didn't. I think he was consumed with getting the gospel out. He was consumed with the truth of God's word. In 1 Timothy, he writes to Timothy, he says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came. There's Christmas, folks, right there. It's in that single word. Came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Christ's birth did not go unnoticed with Paul. Christ's life did not go unnoticed with Paul, even though when he was a Pharisee and practicing that, it did. But God changed him. And then everything became new. Great is his faithfulness. They're new every morning. He was consumed with this. He says, to save sinners. He realized his position with God. He says, of whom I am chief. Later on, he says to Corinthians, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. God changed him. See, the true purpose of Christ's birth is to change us. Is to give us an opportunity to change. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. This is what motivated Paul. This is what ought to motivate us. This is what the church needs, folks.
Right.
For I determined. When it all boils down, he says, this is the one thing. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and not him born and him crucified. He had to be born to get crucified. But the issue is what happened at the end of his ministry. This is just the beginning. Oh, folks, God sets us out on the beginning. And so Paul talks to the Galatian church. He says, this is my statement on Christmas. But then he talks about what the statement encompasses. 3 points this morning. The first one's this. God's always on time. God's always on time. He writes here in our passage, he says, when the fullness of time was come. You know, we are an impatient people. Christmas just brings that out. We get frustrated when we stand in line. We get frustrated when the shelves are empty and we can't find what we want. We get frustrated by all the people out on the road. We get frustrated, we get impatient. You know, people get impatient with God too. And we need to understand that God deals with our impatience. He's always on time. And that impatience and going, I want it now. You need more faith. You need to let Him work in your life So when it does happen, you'll receive it. You'll receive it the way it's supposed to be received. Oh, God deals with our patience. He's always on time. When I was studying for this message, I was looking up the phrase set time. Because that's what this verse means. It talks about the fullness of time when this time was set. This time, God knew exactly when it was going to happen. And it took me back to the story of Abraham and Sarah. And God had made a promise to Abraham that they were going to have a son after they were beyond age. Nothing's impossible with God.
Amen.
But sometimes when we wait, we think things are impossible. And so then he comes, and what does Abraham do? What does Sarah do? After waiting several years and nothing was happening, he said, we're going to take matters in our own hands. We're going to do God's plan our way. And so Sarah gives Abraham Hagar, his handmaid, and she has a child by him, Ishmael. Well, you know what that causes, right? And then that wasn't the way. But their impatience got in the way. And sometimes our impatience gets in the way too. So more years go by. And an angel appears to Sarah and Abraham. Actually to Abraham. And says, 9 months from now, Sarah is going to have a kid. A son. The one that was promised. Not the one that you all took action on. And what does Sarah do? Laughed. See, our impatience kind of makes us go to a point that we say, hey, it's not going to happen this way. And we start looking for other excuses and things. But then it says at the set time, Sarah had a child and named him Isaac. Folks, God's always on time. Even though when we don't think He is, He is. You know, the faithful, we see in Hebrews chapter 11, the faithful had heard the promises of the Messiah. And it says that they all what? Died in faith, looking at the promise, never inheriting the promise. For 400 years there's been silence, and all of a sudden, ordinary people on ordinary days, extraordinary things start happening. God's always on time. In Psalm chapter 102, verse 13, it says, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to what? Favor her. God sets that time. We just have to be available. We just have to be responsive. We just have to be waiting. We just have to be looking. Yea, the set time is come. And as we celebrate this Christmas season, we understand that that was the set time. It's come. Christ is to be born. And all those prophecies are set. God deals with our impatience on His time schedule. You just have to wait. And that's what we tell our kids. You have a problem with being impatient? Just make them wait longer, right? That's what God does at times. He says, you wait until you get your act together so you'll be able to receive the blessing that I got for you. Because God is always on time. Here's some examples. Over and over in the Old Testament, there's example after example about God being on time. Things just happening right at that instant. Look at the story of Joseph. Joseph goes from being prisoner to being prime minister. His brothers hate him. They want to kill him, throw him in a pit. It just so happened at a time there was an Ishmaelite caravan going by. It just so happened that they were going to Egypt. It just so happened that he was sold to Potiphar. It just so happened that he became the overseer of his house. It just so happened that he was in prison. It just so happened that there was dreams there. It just so happened that Joseph was able to interpret dreams that got him recognized by Pharaoh. It just so happened that was a famine coming. And it just so happened that Joseph was there. And Joseph is a type of Christ in the Old Testament. He saved Egypt. He saved God's people. Because he provided for Jacob and everybody that brought them down. Which was a promise that was given to Abraham. Years before. And then 400 years later they come out. God's always on time. God sets things in motion that are exactly when they need to happen. So he goes from being a prisoner, being prime minister, and we see, and we know the story, how he gave Pharaoh wisdom and they survived the famine. And Jacob came down along with the rest of Joseph's family. And they were reunited. Moses. Moses was impatient. He wanted to take things in his own hands as the prince of Egypt. Causing him to go out to the desert. You know, when we're impatient, sometimes it puts us in places that we don't want to be at. And so now for 40 years, Moses is out there in the desert until it just so happened there's this burning bush. Just so happens that God speaks to him. Just so happens that God reveals to Moses, he says, I set you up for this. Now's the time. Now it's the time to go to Pharaoh. Now it's the time to say, let my people go. And Moses goes from being deserted in the desert to being the deliverer of Israel. See, God works always on time. Because there was the prophecy clock given to Abraham that had to come true. Sometimes this thing about timing becomes more immediate. So Israel is now coming out after the Passover. And now they're stuck at the Red Sea. You know, our impatience can cause us to get stuck in a place that we don't want to be. And they're on the shores of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is now coming after him and says, we're all going to die! And God intervenes and puts himself between Pharaoh's army and the Israelites. And just in the nick of time, the Red Sea parts. And they go across on dry land. And then Pharaoh's army comes after him, and just in the nick of time, the Red Sea closes up on them. See, God's always on time. Even though when we're impatient. God's always on time, even when we're not looking. God's always on time when we mess it up. He's always on time. He's going to get his way. God was right on time with the birth of Christ. How long must it have seemed? You know, our memory verse, the people that's what? Sat in darkness, saw a great light. Folks, this world's in darkness. Maybe you're in darkness this morning. Maybe you need to understand that God is the light. That Christ is the light. That promise was given back in the Garden of Eden. And all through the Old Testament, there's the Messiah. We already talked about Hebrews 11. And now it just so happened that Caesar Augustus said, there's this taxing thing that has to happen. And it just so happened that everybody was there in Bethlehem. It was too crowded. And it just so happened that there was no room in the Motel 6. It just so happened that the only place was a manger. It just so happened that those shepherds were out there on the side. It just so happened that the astrologers in Babylon were looking up and they saw a star. It just so happened. No, it didn't. It was God being right on time.
Amen.
You know, today we sit in some darkness. And I'm telling you right now, just as Christ came the first time, He's coming a second time.
Amen.
And the point is that we need that God will be right on time with the second coming too.
Right.
It doesn't matter if some doubt. We know the state of the world today. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, it says, saying, where is the promise of His coming? People for centuries before Christ was born, when's the Messiah? Is this Him? They asked John the Baptist, are you it? They were looking for everything. It's good to be looking, but you need to be looking the right way. At the right time. To the right person. And say, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But you know something? Even though some doubt, God delivers. Right on time. And He's going to deliver. And He's going to come back. And He's coming back. You know why? Because Christ said so. And John 14 verse 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He prefaced that, if ye believe in God, ye believe in me. Oh, folks, God was right on time with Christ at Christmas time. Right on time, right in the right place, with the right people involved. Right on time. He's coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready? In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, Christ has given His great commission. He's ascended up to heaven. An angel comes down and says this, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall show come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. You know something? Those people lived their entire life thinking that Christ was going to come back in their lifetime. It changed their life based on the promise. But it wasn't the right time. There's generation after generation. We live in the generation. And I think that He could come back today too.
Amen.
Are you ready? We need a relationship with Christ. That's why He came the first time. Right on time. God is always on time. And God's always on time and is working in our lives. You're not here by accident, folks, today. This message is for you. This message for those on the internet.
Yep.
See, the issues that we're going through, some of us we're getting impatient with. God says, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to cast all these things to me. So we need to understand that God is always what? On time. He's always on time. Secondly, God meets people where they are. We've seen that with Zacharias and Elizabeth. We've seen that with Joseph. We've seen that with Mary. You know, following Christ's birth, there's Anna who prophesies about the Christ. There's Simon that picks Him up and holds Him and said that this he was going to not taste death until he held the Christ child. God's always, these are people, and God meets them just where they are. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. That's where we all have our beginning. We're all made under the law. We all are babies. We're all born so helpless. Can you imagine the humility of Christ, the Creator of the universe, to basically come down and take on the form of man and then have to be dependent upon Mary and Joseph? Folks, that's humility. That's showing help. And He did that voluntarily for us. How strange that God would choose this entrance in the world. It's the degree of humility that we talk about in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 7. It says, let this mind be in you. We need a mind change. We need our mind aligned with Christ.
Amen.
We need to understand He's always on time. He's always on target. He does it for us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because He is God.
Amen.
But made Himself of no reputation. It took upon Him the form of a servant and was made the likeness of man. It goes on to say He was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. See, that's the way it had to start for it to finish that way. Laid in a manger. Outside of a house. Basically being rejected right off the bat. What humility. And He did that for us. See, God's always on target. He meets people where they are. God's going to meet you where you are today. See, God knows what you need. Why did God do this? Why did Christ do this? You know, He could have just spoke everything and just happened. But He wanted to show love. And He wanted to show how we can best love back and show how we could glorify God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or our humanity or our limitations, but was in all points not tempted. He was tempted with sin, but He didn't know sin. He was tested just like we are. You know, He had the same challenges of people growing up. He had the same challenges when He was doing His ministry. Points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He went through everything for us to show that God can work through us and get us through that. And that God can meet your need. He met Zacchaeus' need when he saw him up in the tree. He met Bartimaeus' need when he found him blind on the side of the road after the crowd told Bartimaeus to shut up. He met the harlot's need, the woman that was taken in adultery. He met the person, he met the woman's need with the infirmity of blood. He met Jairus' need for his daughter. We serve the same God. He can make your need too. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need. If you don't have Him as Savior, you need Him today. If you don't have a home in heaven, you need Him today. And God supplies all His need through His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. Born in the manger, but died on the cross for our, in place of us, for our sins. Was buried, rose the third day, and now sits on heaven, offering forgiveness of sins and eternal life to whoever will ask Him. That's need. He can take out your need of impatience. You think you need it, but you don't. He can fix that.
Amen.
But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by who? Everybody say it. Christ Jesus. So God is always on time. God meets people where they are. He's meeting us here today. Why does He do it? Because God wants to change people from what they are now to what they can be. You know, you can act religious. You can act good, but you're not good. You can act moral, but you're still going to fall short. The Bible says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The best we can do is failure in ourselves. But God meets you at your need. And we're more than conquerors through Christ, which gave himself for us. That we might receive the adoption of sons. To be adopted means to be placing a son. You know, think about an adopted kid. When he's born, he didn't think he'd get his adopted parents. When he's sitting in an orphanage or in a place, that person, he had no control over himself. No control over his situation. But then someone comes in and adopts him. And makes him part of the family. Folks, that's what God wants to do to you today. We're all hopeless. We're all homeless. We need a Heavenly Father. And God comes in with Christ. And his atonement on the cross. And he says, come into my family. It's a change from that family tree to a new family tree. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. See, you can't be like God unless you know him. You can't go to heaven unless you know him. God's always on time. He's always on target. His adoption is possible because of the redemption on the cross. I need not say anymore. You know if you're going to heaven today. You also know if you're not. I can't change that. The only person that can change that is Christ. Only person. And for us that believe, God is developing you into what you ought to be even today. Through his word, through his spirit. In Romans 8:23 it says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. I want to get back to the first point. Don't let this become too familiar with you. Don't let this become routine. We need to make it new every morning. Because God's mercies are new every morning. We need to make a new commitment to him every day. We need to daily put on the new man. And we need to be excited about this. Folks, are you excited about Christmas? What it means? Are you excited about the opportunity to witness to somebody? Because of what it means? Are you excited about the Christ child? Because of what he brings? Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. God's got a promise. He's always on time. His target is you. His target is eternity for you. Where will you spend eternity? This morning, Jesus will change your life. You can only be who he wants you to be through his grace, through his riches, through his glory, through his son. If you let him. If you let him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask and just help the word that we heard today speak to our hearts. Lord, Lord, if someone is here that does not know you, Lord, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Father, this service is not an accident. We're not here by accident. Lord, we're here by divine appointment. And Lord, I just ask that you just have your Holy Spirit just work in our lives. Father, someone is here, does not know you, Lord. I pray that they would just ask you for forgiveness of sins, understanding you died on the cross for them. You were buried and you rose the third day. Now you sit in heaven sinless to give the gift of salvation to all who ask. Lord, I just pray that someone will ask today for your salvation. more for us. Father, help us, Lord, to wait on You. Help us to understand it's in Your time. It's by Your glory. It's through Your power. We ourselves are nothing without You. And Lord, just help us to take us from being nothing to something today through Your grace. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want